Paul?
Hey, how's it going, Ernie?
Hello? Good. It's been way too long, man.
I know it has been. I was just thinking about you because we have one of our guys in Arizona, but then I heard that you're still traveling the country.
Well, we're in Arizona right now trying to get out. We were here for, you know, holidays and kind of, you know, too long. We got the Love Bus. You know, we had the engine totally rebuilt. It's like a $20,000 thing, and it took a shit. So I'm like, really?
Oh, geez.
So they're sending in a new engine and replacing it, so we got to wait for that. So that's like a thing. So I'm making use of the time while I'm here, you know.
When's the Love Bus going to swing by San Diego?
I'm sorry?
When's the Love Bus going to swing by San Diego?
It's going to be a while, because when we leave here, we go Colorado, Austin, Houston, Boca Chica to see a Starship launch, because we can. And then we're making it a Key West. Then as it warms up, we'll go up the Carolinas and then cross mid, wow. And then we're to San Diego. And we need to definitely, San Diego is going to be one of our last stops after we do a bunch of different festivals and so on before we get to...
It's close to home.
I'm sorry?
Oh, you said where? Before you get to where?
Back to Arizona. You know, we're do all these festivals.
It's close by. It's not too far away from you guys.
Yeah. So San Diego is going to be one of the last, you know, the West Coast and California is going to be one of the last things that we do before we come back to Arizona for Jackalope Freedom Festival in August. And then when we get here, then Donna and I are, you know, looking at land and we're going to build and kind of try and survive, you know. Who I just had on.
Where at?
Oh, wait a minute, we're back.
I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember, we are not afraid!
Yeah, unafeared here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Oh, we got a special guest again. Today, we just had Matt Smith on, Paul Pway, and he, you know, does, you know, Doug Casey talk, and he's, you know, Porter Stanbury, you know, like, guy, and he's going, Ernie, I got an RV, a big Freightliner Thor thing, we're going to follow Love Bus, where are you going, what are you doing, where's the festivals, man, we need to, so we were talking about that, this is a thing. And I'm telling you what's happening. And what he did is he goes, you know, crypto went up to the. I'm going to spend some of it and get me a nice RV. So that's what he did. And this has been a common thing. You know, like I remember we were at Porcupine Freedom Festival. Luke Radowski came and he's, you know, huddled in his locked down Brooklyn apartment. Finally, he got a fifth wheel and he's out doing stuff. And a lot of the guys are out of New Hampshire or getting RVs. This is a thing because of what's happening. Well, crypto has been a mechanism for a lot of these like-minded people to be able to do what? You know, they just buying a mansion and being on the beach of what? Where? You can't do anything or go anywhere. All the life that you thought you were going to lead when you got wealthy, now you're locked down on Christmas in, you know, your house. So, and Paul is a good friend to the movement and to me. I just want, let me introduce him real quick. Paul is a proud electrical engineering and computer science graduate of UC Berkeley with a wide range of technical skills from low-level 3D graphics engineering to development of custom web CMS systems. Even before people knew what a CMS was, which he's going to tell me what that is, he held lead engineering positions with NVIDIA and Chromatic Research, but most recently owned and operated several non-technical small businesses throughout California. There he learned the importance of the intersection of people, business, and technology, which is where we overlap. Make it gooey, man. Give me a grandma adjust button, man. Paul's the man. Today, Paul aims to bring Bitcoin mainstream with software and products aimed at simplifying Bitcoin and making it insanely easy to send and secure this revolutionary currency while maintaining the highest level of privacy. When not converting people to Bitcoin, you'll find him climbing a rock at Joshua Tree or at a local climbing gym. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, our Pirates Without Borders, we had the shirt belay, you know, like belay that order, belay. Well, it's a belay in climbing. He's like, hey, what's that about, man? I got to have that shirt, you know. Do you ever wear that shirt?
Belaying? I wear a bunch of different climbing shirts, although admittedly, we got to update that little intro because it's so much has changed. I'm kind of a bit of an overweight climber at this point, kind of running a startup. I'm not really able to get out. I can't even get out to the gyms anymore. You know, that was my way of at least getting some level of climbing exercise and experience in the midst of this startup life that I've been in the middle of. But I kind of miss, obviously, having stuff open, not just the indoors, but the outdoors. And so, yeah, we got to update that bio a little bit. I feel like it's a little bit dated. I feel like it's trip back memory lane hearing you read that off every time on your show.
Well, let's put it this way. He's a computer geek out of Berkeley that understood that when Bitcoin, you know, and crypto started happening, that these young kids, they go, ooh, I know how to do it and you don't, and pay me as a consultant. And then it was no way it was going to scale and be a popular demand, you know, that way. It had to be easy to use. When Paul created Airbits, he's my new best friend. It's about freaking time I get a grandma adjust button. Now it's gone to Edge. And I increasingly use Edge more. I kind of went to, you know, Coinami. I was using a little bit more because I had some obscure coins that I wanted to do and everything. And then Airbits went to Edge. And then Edge started getting a lot more. And then the exchange was a lot easier and faster. So I'm, you know, back into using Edge most of the time because Edge kicks ass because Paul Pway. So go ahead
coins.
And talk about
coins you need, right?
Yeah, it's all we need. So go ahead and talk about the Edge wallet and what your philosophy is, where you're at, and then we'll get into the crypto space and so on. But you got like a few minutes to, you know, do your commercial for Edge. Go, man.
Yeah, quick summary. Edge, self-custody. You own your keys. You own your funds. You own your privacy in a simple, easy-to-use mobile app. Lets you buy, sell, and trade crypto. Simple as that. You don't ever have to write down 24 words. This is the grandma adjust button that Ernie's talking about. Every other Bitcoin wallet where you own Bitcoin or crypto wallet where you own your keys, almost every single time you're finding yourself writing down random words or saving files on your computer. We eliminate that and make it feel like you're just creating a standard kind of fintech account, right? You just go ahead and create an account, log in. Got a new device or lost your phone, just go ahead and log in. And that automatically gives you the keys, decrypts the keys on your device where only you control them. And Edge sees none of the information that you have inside of your phone. We don't know the transactions that you've made. We don't know the balance inside of the wallet. In order for you to buy and trade, you can even trade assets without providing any personal information. It's going from one crypto to another. I think that really ties it all together. And it takes what I say is the need that people have in crypto, which is speculative, which is the reason why you're looking for wallets that hold other coins, and we've got speculation going on, but try and pull people away from the centralized services where they collect all the information from you and they also hold your money, right? Instead of those services, Edge allows you to do very similar functionality, buy, sell, trade, but you hold the funds, you hold the keys, you hold your privacy. And I think that's in a summary of what we're providing in this industry, which is cryptocurrency, which, as you were saying, is booming. This is what's bringing people, you know, some of the wealth to be able to go buy their RV and travel the country.
Well, tell me, as being one of the more popular wallets and certain the capabilities you have in the future of anybody that is doing anything in the space, they got, yeah, we got to make nice with Paul, and that includes the man. You know, there's going to be, oh, well, you need to have GoldmanSucks.gov coin on there. I mean, where's this going? I guarantee you've been talking with...
The Goldman Sucks, I love that. So the Goldman Sucks Gov coin and whatnot, the funny thing is, if they really push that stuff out, like the whole central bank digital currencies, I used to be a big bear against these things. Like, these things suck. They have no purpose. They don't really have a financial monetary policy the way Bitcoin and even Ether have. But the great thing about it is, if they really build these and they need wallets and they use private keys to be able to send and receive, they are, in a way, they're the Trojan horse in the crypto. If you allow these coins to get transacted using a standard crypto wallet, well, that means that just the everyday person now would want to have a crypto wallet that manages their keys. And once they have that, they've kind of gone over the hump, and getting them into real cryptocurrencies becomes just a snap of a finger. Boom, hey, that wallet that can hold your Goldman Sachs GovCoin, well, guess what? It can also hold Bitcoin and Ethereum and transact other stable coins like USDC, USDT, or DAI and whatnot. And I think that's kind of the hook. That's the great part where, while I don't like these GovCoins, they are this Trojan horse to get real crypto into the hands of the rest of the population.
I understand that, and that's been a discussion, you know, even, you know, for years, a decade. I mean, hell, we've been doing this a long time, and it was, yeah, but we got to get, you know, people to start getting used to the digital kind of going. Yeah, I go, yeah, they're going to get used to the digital, and then all of a sudden, like Matt was talking, he was in Colombia, mm-hmm. a big super Catholic country of whatever, and the government said you are locked down from 6 on Christmas Eve in the evening until the morning of the day after Christmas. Just to see if they could. So when they do this and they go, well, we got you your GovCoin. Well, you're locked down. That's the only one you can use in any other wallet they have, and it's illegal, and we're going to shoot you. You know what I mean? We're going to find out what the Edge wallet and how interfaced it is with, and kind of can it be always and from. What if they do an edict of you got a brick and mortar, we know where you live, and you're not allowed. I need to know the future because here it comes. You know? And Paul's going to be the guy to tell us all about it when we come back in just a little bit. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Pirates. Pirate. That's where this is all going, man. I need pirate currency, pirate communication, pirate, you know, pirate. I need to get off the man, you know, to help me out here. So when we come back, how susceptible, or talk about is how susceptible you are to edicts from the Crown or something.
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
What was that? Yeah, there we go.
Okay. You know, well, when we come back, I would just want to make sure that you can share with us how susceptible you are to they, them, those doing whatever the hell they're going to do, and, you know, how insulated we are. Cause I,
got it.
You know, I don't need another, you know, link in the blockchain to the Crown. You know, I can see what's coming, you know, it's, oh, my God. So I'm, you know, I don't need more.
Yeah, exactly. What's the path to being as independent as possible for the average person? How do we get disconnected from?
We need a mechanism by which we can do the kind of promises of blockchain. I mean, everything. Oh, it's anonymous. Well, then it became pseudo anonymous, which I had to look up and meant not. You know, so I'm.
Like, what the heck is pseudo anonymous?
I'm just
right.
Tired
how do you actually? How do you achieve that higher level of privacy? And it's not easy. Sometimes you have to go to other coins. Good old Monero. Still
yeah,
haven't been able to crack it.
Well, I don't, you know,
it's
I
one
don't.
Of the most popular coins we have on the platform. People can actually acquire it. No KYC.
Well, you were the one that the reason it's, you know, Edge. I the only way I could get Monero is to, you know, to go on the Edge wallet and be able to do it at the time, and I'm going cool. So I got some, and you know, I'm glad I did. I mean, you know, I spend. It's too easy to spend. Oh, I'm gonna bring that up again. All right, here we go.
Updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Paul Pway from the Edge Wallet. Okay. I get that. Here it is. This is my lobby. I'm doing it for you, people. It's for you. All right, Paul, this is the deal. We had talked about this years before. It is so easy to use Edge Wallet. It is so easy to trade in. And I had, you know, a little bit of Bitcoin, and I usually just did it because whoever wanted Bitcoin, I don't have that much in there. It wasn't much until it becomes a lot. And then, you know, I would always use it to, you know, I get this, you know, coin or a shit coin over here or one over there or a token for whatever, or kind of, you know, invest in different projects. And I went, yeah, I'll buy $100 or $1,000 of that or whatever. You know, and I put it in, and then I got to have it somewhere. And then, you know, I got that, and it makes it easy to do that. One of these was Monero. Monero comes in. Oh, we're private, and they never and always got pinky swear, and how the hell would I know? I mean, you know, if Paul says it's that private, okay, cool, I'll go get it. Well, Edge Wallet made that easy, one of the few places in a wallet that made it easy to be able to get some Monero. Now, the thing is that is my problem, that crypto is so easy to use, it's much more difficult to go buy. So I'm going, all right. Now, at one time, Airbits, and I'm sure, you know, Edge, I haven't set it up, it interfaced with my bank account. Yeah, you do with one of these different, you know, exchanges or something that I remember us talking about it. Yeah, should we do this? How would we? And I go, as long as, you know, it's voluntary and I know what's up, you know, I can do it. So I go, okay, one, I just answer the question real quick. Can I set up my Edge wallet to interface with an exchange that I can use my bank account to do money to buy crypto?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
In many different countries, we've got about 8 or 9 exchange partners to let you go from dirty money to good money.
Okay, just my bank account, and I put it, I push, and I go buy crypto. All right, so I'm going, cool, I got that. Now, it's easy for me to spend. I keep spending, I spend it, and I lose, and I just, you know, spend. I got a $20,000 hoodie, you know, because I didn't replace it, okay? So I'm going, all right, I want to be able to, as I spend, set a thing that if it just goes into my bank account and give me some more crypto when I spend it, it replenishes it, and whatever one that I want, it's automatic, and every time I spend, I get plus 10%, or I just have it do it at a regular thing. Can you do that? Did you do that? Can I get that?
Not yet. I know we've been having discussions with our partners to enable that kind of functionality. It's not quite there yet. One thing we will be doing, and also in discussions with exchange partners, is to do regular, like daily or weekly or monthly rebuys. So if you know that you're earning a certain amount per month, say you're earning, you know, 10 grand a month for you fortunate people, and you want to take maybe $1,000 of that each month and just automatically buy just on a recurring basis, regardless of the price. That's something that's on our roadmap, and we're working hard to get that over. As far as buying when you've spent, that's a little bit trickier, especially if you spend small amounts, because as you probably know now, especially because everyone wants to buy Bitcoin and Ethereum, those are pretty expensive coins as far as the transaction fees that you have to pay to transact them. And so if you go and, you know, you pay for a coffee for something, or you make a small spend, you may not want to do a rebuy for that small amount, because the fees on smaller purchases tend to be higher
right.
than if you make a larger purchase. And so The rebuy on spend is a little bit tricky, but it has been brought up. Even people on our team would love to see that feature, but not quite there yet.
Okay. If I can get, you know, the rebuy, I mean, if I got a regular, I can just, you know, set it, you know, every month it pulls out just like it was a, you know, I'm paying a bill or something. I pay my bill to become filthy, stinking rich, an Edge wallet of give me more crypto and disperse it amongst it. You have it to where it sets up, I could just do that. I'd be a wealthy freaking rich some bitch right now, and it's I blame you. Okay, it's all
we badly want to get that set up. Believe me, we so badly want to. It's kind of in the hands of our partners, so all we can do is nudge them really hard. Maybe we're gonna say Ernie says that you guys need
damn
to do this,
Skippy.
That way we get the feature into the app.
Yeah, wherever so that'll
we're gonna drop the name, and it's gonna happen.
I tell you what happens, Paul, is by, you know, it's been amazing. I go, all right, audience, watch this. Pay attention. The more I bitch about something, the more, hell, that's how I found Paul, just by bitching, where's my grandma adjust button? Well, in my grandma adjust button, I need to just be able to start buying regular crypto out of my account of, are you kidding me? You know, now, the thing is, there goes a lot of your privacy. I mean, you know, because it's coming from the bank, and they know, and they
want to. There goes some of your privacy, you're right.
There's some,
you know, and we can tell people how to retain a good level of privacy, even though they're buying out of their bank account.
This is a thing, man. I'm telling you, there would be a lot more use of, you know, how are you funded? Is it some of the transaction go? How does Edge get its, you know, resources to be able to do this?
We're just like any other centralized exchange, but we're more of a decentralized self-custody exchange. Just like them, when you do a trade, you know, there's a little bit of there's a spread between the price that you pay when you send out your funds versus the price of the asset when you receive them. We take a little cut of that spread. Simple as that. And volume has been growing. A lot more people have been using Edge and have been trading larger and larger sums of money. And so we're funded by our own business. We haven't raised money in a couple of years. We've been doing really well. And so we're going to be around and continue to service people and improve the product.
Well, I remember the early days of you being kind of, man, we got to get and raid and do, and you got the dream. And I'd
exactly.
I was promoting as much as I, because this is exactly what the space needed. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm glad you're doing well now, but I'm wondering why there wasn't a big, giant, freaking flood of give you money in the beginning. What, they didn't, you were too private? That wasn't part of their game plan or something?
Open source, private, self-custody, where you don't control people's money. And when you control people's money, there's a lot of ways to make money on it. Right, that's what the banks do. They take your money, they lend it out, they leverage it. We don't do any of that. And I think we don't fit the classic Silicon Valley business model where we collect the information from users, we could sell the information, we could market to you in creative ways with that information. In some ways, you can even just improve the product from that information. Because we're so private, it's really tough to do all of the above. And so, you're right, it doesn't really fit the Silicon Valley business model. And then second, I'm not a great fundraiser. I don't like spending my time talking to VCs every day, every hour. I'd rather build the product. So I'll spend a little bit of time and raise a little bit of money, but then we continue on. And so I think we've been able to slug through the bear markets and still even grow in the midst of that time. We also had that pivot. We pivoted from Airbits to Edge with the realization that spending Bitcoin, which was the real focus in the Airbits era, wasn't really what people are looking to do. It's too early for that. The currency is too speculative. People want to hoard it. They want to save it. They want to trade it. So the pivot to Edge is where we said, okay, that's fine. Let's go ahead and make sure at least the people that are trading it aren't trading it on a centralized exchange if they don't need to. If they don't need all the functionality and features and speed of one, then they can do it right from within their own wallet. And that's when we really found a good product market fit and people started to use it, and we're seeing really, really good growth, and we're not needing to the same degree to be raising money. We're actually just legitimately making some money.
Yeah,
making in crypto.
I knew you're going down, you know, this, I choose wisely. And it, a lot of times it comes down to just, you know, character. You got, you know, someone that you know is not a butthead, sociopath, ripping you scumbag. And then you have that has a vision for what needs to be done. And that is where you and I overlapped, and I'm just, man, you know, Paul Play, you know, hell yeah, because you understood the need for ease of use, you know, to make sure that it was functional, that it had, but at the base was a privacy aspect. We're going to end the break, but when we come back, there is this whole privacy thing of how it works can also apply to other data. I want to know how far down the road they are on that. It's been a while since we talked about that. But there's a lot of other reasons, not just because it's easy. Hell, Facebook is easy. You know, big freaking deal, you know? I don't want just easy. I don't want to have to give up my freaking everything, my DNA sample to do something. We're going to find out about the privacy and security of Edge when we come back.
Are you tired of governments around the world killing innocent people? Stop you.
Yes, I am. Okay, when we come back.
Hey, I recognize that voice. Who was that? Was
Mark Edge.
That was it? Mark Ian. Is that Ian?
No, it was Mark.
That was Mark. I was gonna say it was either Mark or Ian.
Yeah, it was Mark. And I'm pretty sure.
That was Mark. Okay, cool.
Alternative available to you now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's Mark. So it's When we come back, we'll do the security. Because I remember when you were, you know, your I don't know, what do you call it? Your database, the processing of, and kind of how you get the privacy of.
Admittedly, it's still there. We haven't been able to push other apps yet. So we don't have any apps built yet that do just like non-crypto pure data security. We are incorporating new things into Edge that is more still on the financial services level, but higher level of privacy than the centralized alternatives, which maybe you've already had discussions in your show, but it's all about DeFi. That's the big killer word that I think is really going to take over use case for crypto. DeFi.
What does that mean?
Really? You haven't heard? Oh, we got to talk about this one. Decentralized finance, take out loans, interest bearing accounts, trading. All on the blockchain, no KYC, no. All right,
no, say no more, say no more. I got we'll get it, save it for the show. I got to go to the bathroom anyway.
Yeah, okay,
we'll be back in 2.5 minutes, and we'll get right to DeFi. All right, I got
DeFi,
a new
DeFi,
word. I got,
yep.
All right. We'll be right back.
All right, we'll do it.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Paul Pway from Edge Wallet Crypto. All right, he's got a new term that we got to learn. I got to learn. You probably already know. I don't know. You know, DeFi, whatever. All right, Paul. You know, learnify me, man. What's up?
So DeFi, we were talking about this in between the segments here. DeFi, decentralized finance. Takes cryptocurrency and now offers not just sending and receiving and holding of money without a third party. Now you can actually do things that are services on top of money. Think loans, trading, interest-bearing accounts, stuff that the big bankers are the ones are offering on top of the dollar. Now you're going to have smart contracts which are autonomous, don't collect any KYC, are accessible from anywhere in the world that can offer those same services. So case in point example, something I did. Who wants to be able to use their crypto but not sell it? Do you want to be able to use your crypto and actually go buy an RV but not actually sell it? That's something interesting to you, Ernie?
I am on the edge of my seat. Please continue.
You want to do that? You want to do this? So you've got a bucket load of, say, Bitcoin or some Ether, and you want to be able to use it to go buy an RV. Well, before a lot of the DeFi service, you'd have to sell it. Well, another thing you can do is you can take out a loan and collateralize it with crypto. Say, hey, I'm going to deposit. I'm going to give this bank kind of entity, say, you know, a few Bitcoin. That's going to be the collateral. So it backs your loan, and then they give you dollars for that.
Okay,
so
but it locks it in at that price. If it goes up, I still maintain the increase in it. Oh,
exactly. You still gain all of the benefit of the upside. So say you put in $100,000 and you of Bitcoin into this service, and that, what is that, 3 Bitcoin? So you put 3 Bitcoin for $100,000, and then you take out $50,000, because it has to be over-collateralized, just like a loan for your home, right? You've got to put in more money than you're going to take out. You take out $50,000, you go buy your RV. I think you can buy an RV for $50,000, whatever. And so you take that. Now the Bitcoin doubles, which it can do and has done, and suddenly you still have $200,000 worth of Bitcoin sitting collateralizing a loan, which you can then pay back that loan and withdraw the Bitcoin. So that is a service that's been around for quite a few years, since about like 2016, 2017, but they were centralized services. They were banks. When you wanted to apply for the loan, you'd have to fill out pages worth of, you know this, know that, where do I live, you know, blood type, all that kind of stuff that you absolutely hate. Right, Ernie? That's the kind of stuff that you're trying to avoid. Well, guess what? With the advent of Ethereum and smart contracts, we can take all of those agreements that people would normally have to have with a bank or another centralized entity, and they just go on the blockchain. And I actually did use this. I wanted to pay off some credit cards. Right? I got credit card debt because I'd rather have credit card debt than sell my Bitcoin and sell my Ether and whatnot. So instead, I deposited that money into this smart contract. It's held there right now, locked cryptographically. I didn't have to fill out any applications to do so. And then I withdrew some stablecoin, USDT, USDC, DAI, and then I sold that right to the bank account, and then I could pay off my credit card. That Bitcoin's still there, the Bitcoin Ether is still there, and I did that when Bitcoin was worth $10,000 and Ether was worth, I think, about $500.
Which now it's 37 and Ether's stupid at like 16 exactly. or some crap like that.
17.
Oh my God.
It's not even stupid enough. It's only barely above all-time highs. So, yes, I got all of the upside potential of my crypto, but I still was able to use it to pay down a high-interest debt, such as my credit cards, where I'm paying an interest rate that's a significantly lower by taking out this loan. Interest rate of about 6 to 8% is kind of typical to be able to take out this loan. And I actually never have to pay it back. Technically speaking, so long as my crypto increases in value faster and higher than the interest rate, I never have to pay it back because it just kind of keeps paying for itself.
All right, so what happens when it drops below? What happens if, you know, Bitcoin goes
down? So it can drop. So it's over-collateralized, so it can drop by a certain percentage, and I'm okay, right? If it starts dropping below that, I will have to then deposit more Bitcoin to keep the loan-to-value ratio kind of at a happy medium. And that happy medium is about 66, 67%. So you want to have, for example, you want to have about $67 worth of, I'm sorry, you want to have about $100 worth of Bitcoin for every $67 that you're withdrawing in loans. So long as that ratio stays at or above that $67 ratio, then
I
you're
understand
okay.
the advantage That's of this of on an appreciating asset, but if it gets to where they're going to do the, you know, GameStop banks sell short all their Bitcoin and selling them kind of goes down, you're setting yourself up, aren't you?
Well, you are, except that guess what? They can't do that. It's a smart contract. There's no entity behind. There's no Robin Hood that can arbitrarily say, you know, we're not going to give you those funds. We're going to automatically liquidate them. It's a smart contract. It can't do that. It's programmatically, provably going to simply keep your funds locked unless the value of the Bitcoin or Ether drops or unless you decide to pull it out.
Okay, now when it drops, what happens?
People can audit and have audited.
Okay, I understand. See, these features of being able to use Ethereum is probably one of the reasons why it's shooting up, you know, because it's Paul doing this, all right?
Oh, absolutely.
So
it's real finance that people really want and need, and they're using it for legitimate reasons. It's not just speculative. Like, when I went to go and take out this loan, it wasn't because I was trying to speculate on Ether. It wasn't because I was trying to speculate on the dApp I was using, which I happened to use one called Aave, A-A-V-E. I didn't even own any Aave coin. I was literally just like, hey, I want to pay down my credit cards. I don't want to sell my crypto, and it's going to give me an interest rate.
See, what are you in the military? Gives me all these initials. All right, dApp. Tell everybody what that is. Decentralized something.
A decentralized application. Everyone's heard of the term app, which is short for application. D stands for decentralized. It's a decentralized application. It runs on the blockchain, runs on the internet with no company behind that specific app. Meaning they don't control it. They don't control the funds that are locked in it. They don't ask for anything from you. There's no KYC. KYC, there you go.
We're all
interested.
What's
that acronym again, right? Know your customer. Know your customer.
I got it, man. We're all in.
All of these services are DKYC.
Okay, I want to walk this through. I go and I put in $1,000 of crypto into this, contract, all right, this account, this whatever that
contract, yep.
Then I take out some, you know, dollar parity coin, stable coin, tethered, you know, Ripple, something, like, all right? So I take that out, and then I actually can convert that into a dollars in my bank account or something. I'm going to go buy this RV or whatever, right?
Yep.
Okay.
You sure could.
So I go and I buy the
RV. $1,000 of Bitcoin, you can get out about $500.
All right, so I put, you know, $1,000 in. I get $500. I'm going to buy me a little trailer, all right, or a battery for my RV, whatever the hell. So I go in and I get that. You know, let's say $10,000. Well, whatever, $1,000. So I put in $1,000. I get $500 out. It's collateralized with that, but it's still under my control. Bitcoin goes down from $1,000 down to $500. What happens?
The Bitcoin gets liquidated, but you still had that $500 that you had already taken out. So it's almost as if you sold Bitcoin at $500.
Got it.
So if you were going to sell your Bitcoin anyway to buy the RV, guess what happens? If the price drops, you would then be selling Bitcoin to buy the RV, but you just sold it at a lower price. So the risk is that if Bitcoin's at, you know, say $1,000 and you wanted to buy an RV, you could have sold some Bitcoin right then and there at a higher price. right? You
could but if I want to keep the Bitcoin, then I would just put more in to cover it, and then eventually it goes up and I'm good.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And so this is a great service when Bitcoin is not like hitting new all-time highs. You know, we're at 10X,
I understand
20X.
You know, it's insider trading with Paul
Poy. It's got room to grow.
No, it's insider trading because Paul knew he was going to make Ethereum worth a lot more, so he did Ethereum because I'm going to make it worth a lot more. Somebody, Biden's going to explain it to you or something. You know, these services, because they're awesome, man, the banks are just sitting there with their GoldmanSachs.gov coin going, you know, Paul's like making it better. That's not allowed. You know, so how are you, is there any regulation on this stuff? Or they?
How are we making it better?
I'm sorry?
No.
Music started. We got to wait.
The world. You can create a private key.
We got to wait. Music's going. They can't hear you. He's giving up all his goodie now. You got on the edge of your seat. Wait till we come back. We're going to find out, is there regulation? What's the, it doesn't matter. We don't care. And I hope we're going to find out. Paul Poy, Edge, Wallet. Go get it right now. I'm going to get my phone right now. Do me some trading right now because Paul said. I'll be right back. Okay. You can hear the network, yes?
Oh, you mean the commercials?
Yeah.
Yeah, not now. A second ago, I could.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, when I...
But what if all you have is...
Yeah, when I turn it on, you can hear it. Okay, so when the music... Yeah, maybe you're not able to... It's not loud enough for the music, because all my... The audience complains when people are still talking while the music's going. They can't understand what you're saying, and I get 15 gazillion telegrams telling me what an asshole I am. So, you know, that's why I'm cutting you off. All right, so I'm pulling up my...
Signals,
pulling up my Edge wallet here, and I have, you know, I have a little bit of Bitcoin. I mean, a little bit. I mean, a few. Well, it was a lot more, but I keep buying other stuff, and it keeps going up in value. And I'm like, yeah, screw that. I don't want that. I'm gonna do something later. So, update now. God dang it, update. Oh yeah, that was one thing. Now, over the last few weeks, you know, Edge wallet was doing. We can't log into the server, or something was going on. What was that about?
Probably just been really slam-packed busy. We are upgrading everything, and so we've upgraded some of the servers, and we're upgrading the architecture to be able to handle the load. We just have a buttload new users. Now, you can still log in. No matter what, you can always log in on the device that you're already on with your, like, biometric, like fingerprint or face ID, or with your full password. So that's our attempt at making sure that you're independent of us. The only thing you need Edge for to log in is if you use a PIN. That requires our servers, but the full password doesn't require our servers, and neither does the biometric login.
Oh, so if I put in my password, it would have just gone to it.
It would have gone through, yeah.
Go into my whatever the hell.
So the PIN requires the servers, but for reasons that are more technical than I care to explain. But yeah, the PIN does require the servers, but the password doesn't.
All right, I'm going to go exchange. How much I got here? Yeah, man, it just keeps going up. Holy crap.
We don't support this loan stuff, by the way. I was just talking about it. It's not in Edge yet. That's on our roadmap stuff that, you know, we were talking about what's coming in the future, what are we going to be doing for increasing in privacy. That's on the roadmap to be able to let people do
operations. I got my button. I'm doing a trade here right now. I got my Edge out, man. I got the man. All right. So you're feeling, you know, Ethereum's going to the moon?
It's going much higher than where it is right now. What we define as the moon, we'll see.
In comparison with
Bitcoin. It's definitely going places because there's a legit use case for Ethereum.
See, I'm trying to get rid of
and
my...
I used it. A lot of people are using it. It's scaling. Like, they're implementing actual scaling solutions to drive these fees down and make things faster. It's a long time ahead of us, but I like the direction that it's going. I really do.
All right. Because you said I'm going to, you know, trade some Bitcoin for an Ether next. Just a moment. Searching for the best exchange rate. You know, that was one thing. I did an exchange one time, you know, buying some stuff with Bitcoin, and it's going, well, you know, they wanted some KYC something, you know, and like, you know, no, I'll change to whatever, and then it didn't show that anymore or something. I don't know. Okay, slide to confirm. I get an Ether. Boom. Succeeded. All right. Got something to talk about. Here we go.
Just wait a few minutes.
.fm. That's DLive.LRN.FM.
Rhodes?
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Don't need them. Get my flying car, putting my crypto in collateral and take a loan, go get it, and then I still keep it, and it goes up, and I made my money anyway. Ha, ha, ha. And then I can, you know, cash out and buy another one. I just, you know, when you do these smart contracts, can you close it out and just take your, if you're still in the positive, and just go, you know, I want it before it goes down or something. I pay it off. And
absolutely. You can either pay it back, right? You can just say, okay, well, I took out $50,000. I collateralized it with $100,000 worth of Bitcoin. Say the Bitcoin doubles, and now the collateral is worth $200,000, but you took out a loan of $50,000. Well, you could pay back the $50,000 and take out the full amount of Bitcoin that you had in there, which I think we were estimating to, like, say, 3 Bitcoin. Or you can just take out whatever is the difference. You could take out the $300,000 worth of Bitcoin. I'm sorry, the $150,000, right? The $200,000 is what it went up to in value. This is in our example. Out of the $200,000, you already took out $50,000 in dollars. Well, you can then take the remainder, that $150,000, and withdraw out that Bitcoin. You know, at some point when you just want to close the loan. And these loans don't have terms. They're not like, oh, this is a 6-month loan, you know, a 12-month loan, 18-month loan. It's just a loan, and it just keeps accruing interest, and your collateral just keeps, you know, ideally going up in value. Pay it off whenever you want to or never. My goal, my hope is to have enough crypto such that I can just take out a loan every time I need to spend, but I don't actually ever sell. That is, in theory, actually possible. You could just never sell your crypto, but always continually use it so long as what you're using is a small amount.
All right, where the hell are you doing this? Is this in Edge Wallet?
So the loan aspect in Edge is not there yet, but that's something that is on our roadmap to do this year. We really want to incorporate the DeFi functionality directly inside of the app. Because right now, if I could walk you through how to do exactly what I did. It's not a grandma just button experience. It's like grab this wallet, link this key, copy the key over here, trade the currency from Bitcoin to a wrapped Bitcoin, and then launch this website, install this dApp browser. But it's a mess. It's a total mess. But then it at least shows me the potential for what you can do with crypto, much like I experienced before I built Airbits. I'm like, oh my God, this thing lets me send and receive money without making, applying for an account to anyone anywhere in the world. Same excitement I had about Bitcoin, I now have about financial services, but now we got to build that grandma just button to be able to access those services from an easy experience. Not there, but it's in the works.
All right. Now, one thing I want to make sure we're not getting confused here is we have there's my Ether and my Ethereum. Which one's which?
My Ether, as far as you've got two wallets on your account,
yeah.
One that says my Ether and one that says my Ethereum.
Right.
Those are just arbitrary names. They're just whatever you want to name your wallet. You probably created a second Ethereum wallet in Edge after the default one that it created. And so you can always change those names. They're just two different Ethereum wallets. You got two different private keys. And you could just, you know,
right.
You can call,
I just want to make sure.
Ether, you can call, hey, this is my wife's Ethereum. You can call, this is my kid's Ethereum. This is my kid's college fund. If they ever actually
want
to. Well,
I'm worried because it was Ethereum Classic and Ethereum New and Ethereum. They did their crap. And I just want to make sure, you know, what the hell, you know? So, all right. So the.
When you want to act, go ahead.
Well, on the wallet, when you the security that you have, let's kind of slow down a little bit and have people understand one of the benefits of Edge, is when you create an account, I don't think you require an email or anything. I mean, this is, you don't even know who, what, can't, no. Nothing. Explain that.
Yeah, exactly. We're the anti-Silicon Valley tech startup as far as our technology. So we don't require an email, we don't require a phone number. It's just a username and a password. And that username could be anything you want. It has nothing to do with it doesn't have to have anything to do with your name per se. It could just be, you know, random string of letters and numbers, or your first name, last name, your first name, middle initial, whatever you want. All of that information, though, even that username, we don't see at Edge. The phone, on your phone, we take that and we do a thing called a hash. We just jumble it up, kind of like put the letters inside of a Scrabble bag and shake it up. And then that is what we end up seeing, is a shaken up version of your username and password. That information encrypts the private keys of your Bitcoin and other cryptos like Ethereum. It encrypts them. That is the key to lock them up and to unlock them. So before those keys get sent on the network, to back them up. That's a super important part about cryptos. You got to make sure you back up your keys. You hear that a lot. Make sure to back up your keys. Normally with other wallets, you have to write it down, put it on a piece of paper, put it in a safe, that kind of thing. With Edge, it's automatically backed up. Right? Your username and password are the only things you need to recover those funds. If you switch phones, if you lose your phone, if you get it stolen and whatnot, just log in on a new phone. The keys get downloaded, and then they get decrypted, unlocked on your phone so that you can access them to spend your money and know your balance and see your transactions. Simple as that.
Okay, now the backup of, you know, this happened. I got, you know, full disclosure, it's been getting stupid in the last few days. Well, you know, like last week or week before or something, we go to log into Edge and it goes, you got to wait. What was that about?
So we're talking about this offline. The service of our servers, what they do is they hold encrypted backups. They are just a backup, so you don't actually need our servers to transact crypto and send and receive funds or even do trades, right? All those keys are sitting on your phone. However, there is a service we provide to allow you to decrypt your keys using a PIN. So that PIN effectively logs into Edge and says, hey, give me a key to decrypt my funds. Edge will give your phone a key. And then there's another key that's already on your phone. The two have to come together. Think of it as like taking a key and breaking it in half, right? So there's a key that's sitting on your phone. It's broken in half. Half of it's on your phone. The other half is with Edge. And your phone is then saying, hey, Edge, can you give me the other half of the key? And I'll send you my PIN just so you know it's me, right? That allows you to do what's called the PIN-based login. So if our servers are busy, packed, slammed with users, or down, then that PIN login won't work, right? Because it can't communicate with our servers. But you can still use biometric. A lot of phones now have biometric, where there's a key sitting in the phone that's encrypted by a biometric kind of secure chip. You could use biometric to log in on your phone, or you can use your full password, because that can decrypt the data that's already on your phone. You don't need Edge servers for that.
Okay, a lot of times when I log...
That's a piece of how we operate.
Okay, when I log out and I log in to Edge, you know, a lot of times it's always, what's your password? We need you to do your password. And I go, I do it later, because I know my password. And it says, we want to make sure you got your password. But if I did my password, then I wouldn't need to log into your server.
If you enter your password at the very beginning when you first launch the app, then yeah, you wouldn't need our servers as long as you've logged in at least once before on that phone, right? If you've logged in at least once before, what that does is it downloads your keys from our servers into your phone, and then they stay there. For as long as you have the app on that phone, the keys stay there, and entering your password again to log in just decrypts the keys that are already on your phone. It doesn't use our servers at all. Now, when you are on a brand new phone, yeah, you need the password and our servers to download that data in the first place. So yes, to answer your question, you could just enter your password or do biometric and you can log in and access your account just fine without Edge.
Okay, here it wants me to do the all
right. Now the password reminder you get every so often, right, where it just pops up. You don't need to fill it in. You just said, hey, remind me next time. But if you do enter it and you enter it correctly, it actually starts asking you less and less. You know, maybe it'll ask you every couple times you log in and you enter it correctly, and then it'll wait like, you know, 8 logins before it asks you again. Then it goes to 16, and then before you know it, it's like several hundred logins before it'll ask you again for your password. That's like a common step off. It's part of the way the human brain works as far as memory. At first, you need more frequent reminders of something, and after a while, it gets etched in your head, and you have it in there. You don't need to be reminded of what the password is. So we're just applying kind of concepts of human memory and helping people make sure that they do know their password, because it is key for them to recover their account if they switch phones or lose their phone. That is an important piece of, you know, the experience there. Is we want to make sure walk people through and cover them in those cases that we see where, you know, people do forget that, hey, you do need this password to access their account.
Okay, I made a trade because Paul said, you know, that, see, and of course, you know, I don't matter what Paul, you know, I hold Paul to anything other than, you know, him sharing with us that these new features and things that are coming can use features of something like Ethereum. Now, explain. End of the show. Damn it. Can you stay a couple of minutes?
Unfortunately, I do have a hard stop at 9 o'clock. I've got a meeting I've got to go to at 9 my time. So
we have to get Paul back on.
We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, we're going
to
do it again.
Someone again.
Yeah, we're going
to
do it again.
There's so much to talk about in the DeFi world.
DeFi. Well, this is I would add. You know, I didn't have any Ethereum because I just didn't have any Ethereum. Now I got an Ethereum because Paul's using it to whatever. And as it's shooting to the moon and it's got a lot of these features, I know why. It's because of this. And then, but next time, we're going to be talking about regulation. The man. How much is the man involved? The man. You know, Paul, he's not a big man fan. So we're going to find out next time have Paul on. You guys stay right there. All right. Peace. We'll be right back next week and give you some more good shows. Hold on a second, Paul. Okay. Yeah, my question was, is the regulation. We'll save that for next time. I'll let you go. But thanks it's good to talk to you again, man.
No, pleasure as well. Thanks for having me. Glad to hear the travels are going well. Obviously, look me up when you're coming through California and visiting. You got to visit the commies, right?
Yeah.
And hang out with us for at least a little
bit.
If
they let me in. You know, I don't know how many weeks I got to quarantine in my bus or something. It's just stupid. This is just getting...
Let you in. We might lock you in here. Might not let you leave.
Right. I think I'll decline. You know, Arizona's getting almost as bad. The people are pushing back, but, you know, this is going to be a battle. This is going to be a while. I knew it was going to... That's what Freedom's Phoenix, the logo, is about. It's the rebirth of... You know, of freedom's phoenix from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. So I knew we were going to go through this.
Right.
You know, this is what the whole thing. But damn it, you got to go through it. Well, thanks for being a light in this whole darkness thing. All right, let you go. Peace, brother.
All good. Yep. Peace. Thanks much.
Bye.
Take care, Ernie.